welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, They Said What?, where we talk about street smarts, concerning questions, and more. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 231. Hello, friend. How are you? And by friend, I mean Laura Bierick. I believe you are the one on the other end of the line right now.
What if, without warning, we just changed hosts and it was like a completely different person? It's like when they recast characters in like 90s sitcoms.
Oh, yeah. Just like it's the same character, but a completely different person. They do that in daytime TV all the time.
Oh, do they? Yeah. I just remember Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince. Yeah. Uh-huh. Changing and being like, who? What? And we're all just supposed to assume it's the same person.
Like, it's just our friend Jen, but... She's just pretending to be you.
One day we'll do a switcheroo.
Funny. All right. If anyone notices.
Yeah, I doubt anyone would notice. probably not true. Okay, so let me tell you what's going on this week.
Okay.
So we've had a fun week. We had a visit from Uncle Dan and Auntie Angela, Corey's brother and sister-in-law. Yes, and they're always fun, and the kids always are so excited to see them. They're definitely a fun uncle and fun auntie. And they came for a couple days and we had a lot of fun and we had a lot of activity. And that visit really highlighted something for me it's kind of like a revelation. I don't know if it's like a big eureka moment, but it's definitely like this growing realization I'm having, which is that Augie just does not run out of energy. Like, the kid has no like stopping point. Like, you know, most of us, almost all of us, like you do a lot of physical activity. You do a lot of like mental activity. You're exhausted. You're ready to just chill.
Yeah.
The kid has no chill. Like, he's the definition of having no chill.
Really? Even when TV is on?
He will sit and watch TV. But I feel like that, even that just kind of like revs him up in a weird way. And he won't just like sit and watch TV. He has to be like upside down watching TV. He like basically rolls around our like sectional couch the whole time while he's watching TV.
Yeah.
Okay. So the best example was the weekend. It's the end of a long week. He goes to school all week. Then, you know, his aunt and uncle are visiting. There's a lot of activity there. There's a lot of like playing and going to parks and stuff. And then on Sunday, he has not one, but two birthday parties. Okay. In the morning, both at parks, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Right. He does his quote unquote quiet playtime in the middle, which is like he sits with his iPad for an hour in his room, which I know like screens are not restorative, blah, blah, blah. But like try to get him to stay in his room for an hour. Like we need that time.
Yeah.
The iPad's for us, not for him.
Right.
Another party in the park. This one's for his really good friend. Our friend Carrie's little girl turned 4. So like they, you know, they get along so well and they play together a lot. So they really know each other. And so like it was him and a bunch of people they know, and they were like running around and just like they're on the playground and then they're like putting on shows on this little like stage that's at the park. I mean, just going nuts. And then the party's over and Steve and Carrie are like, what are you guys doing? Are you guys going to go have dinner or like go home? And we're like, well, I don't know. Like, and I'm like, we can be convinced to do something. And I was like, Golden Road is right around the corner, which is like this brewery near us that has like an outdoor area that's perfect for kids. And so anyway, we all agreed to move the party to Golden Road for kid dinner. And when I say like outdoors, it's not just like tables outdoors. It's like lawn games. They have cornhole. They have like giant Jenga. They have giant Connect Four. And the kids freaking love it, right? So for another like hour and a half, the kids are never stop moving, running around, playing with giant blocks, playing with the Jenga, blah, blah, blah. All right. We get going late. Like usually we're in the bath or at 6 o'clock, right, at our house. It's like 6:15 when we're leaving Golden Road. So we're like, oh, fuck, these kids must be wiped, right? Thankfully, it's a short drive home, and I'm half expecting both of them to be asleep when we get home because it's dark out because it's, you know, wintertime now. No, we get home. He's awake. We do a bath, fully playing in the bath. And then it's bedtime, and the kid is fucking, like, running circles in his bedroom. And I'm just like, How? Like, how? He was doing flips, Shauna. He was showing me how to do a front roll on his nugget.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, this is all to say, like, that's when it kind of hit me. I was like, I don't think this is typical. I'm not saying it's abnormal, but I don't think it's like, you know, for the longest time, I thought every kid was like Augie, right? Like, they were all this energetic, right? This is just how kids are. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to realize, like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Totally. Well, one thing is that those kind of days do jazz kids up. I mean, Elle is definitely the same. Like, if she goes to a birthday party, especially at the end of the day, like, forget it, right? She's up forever and, like, so wild. But also, yeah, he has more energy, I think, than the average kid. Like, Cece is not like this, right? But Elle is more like it. And Augie is more like it. So I think there's an energy spectrum that kids fall somewhere on.
For sure.
And I am jealous of those that fall on the very energetic end, because I want to have that much energy, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nowhere close. I fall on the other end of the energy spectrum. Like, I'm the type of person who would happily sleep 9 hours every night, and used to before I had kids. So it's all kind of baffling to me.
Yeah.
But it is exhausting. It's interesting to see. But it's also interesting to realize, like, it's not all kids are like this.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe I need to sort of tailor my parenting a little bit. Just like you were talking about in the last episode, right? How you realize that, like, not all, like, the respectful parenting techniques or whatever are working on Cece.
Right.
Right? She just requires a different approach. I'm like, I think maybe, you know, there's all this all these suggestions about, like, how to get your kids to, like, do activities and stuff. And I'm like, I don't think those work for Augie. Mm-hmm. Like,
you mean, like, sitting still activities, like art and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, getting him to do art, getting him to focus on, quote unquote, schoolwork. You know, like, he's still, I don't know if he's, quote unquote, behind, because I don't know if there's, like, a point where you should be at right now. But, like, he just won't, like, draw things. Like, he will scribble. And I think it's a focus issue, you know what I mean? Or an interest issue. Like, he doesn't want to sit down and, like, practice drawing a nice circle and then, like, stick legs to go on it or whatever.
Oh,
he doesn't
yeah.
want to draw anything representative. He wants to, like, destroy the paper.
That's his natural inclination. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm sure that you know that. But you're right. I think that, like, finding the activities that suit him, like, I mean, obviously organized sports is the first thing that comes to mind. Like, maybe he would love a soccer team or basketball or, you know, something more intensive than the little sports class you took this summer, like something where he can really let that energy out. And I would, like, worry that as a parent, I would feel pressure to, like, engage in that level of activity all the time. Like, to be a good parent, I need to be high energy too. And then I'd be forcing the energy and then I would be extra exhausted. And so, like, trying to find a way to, like, take care of yourself too when you have such, you know, a high energy child.
Well, and it's not just, like, I don't really personally feel any, like, guilt, mom guilt about not doing that. But Augie likes to guilt me about it. Mama, get up. Mama, help. Like, he's okay at independent play, but he definitely wants a play buddy these days.
Yeah.
And when he's home, you know, for the weekend or whatever, it's us. So hopefully Sebastian can start rolling into that role for him soon.
Yes.
Yeah, we can sit down more. But anyway, that I don't have really any answers, but just I had that sort of revelation this weekend. And then just a real quick thing about Sebastian is just that he's just so fucking cute. I know I've talked about this before, but he's just like, 1 year olds, 1.5 year olds are so fucking cute, Shauna.
I know. I love them.
I can't get over it. The second time around, I'm really appreciating it, too, I think. And I think part of it is because the first time around, the pandemic was, like, just getting started.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't know, you know, what was what. And then I was pregnant, so it was, like, a little harder to appreciate this age. But this time, I'm just, like, soaking it up. Okay, so I'm going to send you a video of one of the really cute things he's doing right now, which is he starts drumming or pretending to drum anytime there's, like, a drum beat that he hears.
Oh,
so
that's
I'm sending
cute.
You this video of him playing with this little toy called a Merari, which is like this little storytelling toy that Augie got for his first birthday that's still going strong. And there's one of the options is like, it basically gives you six options. Like you pick a character and then like what they do and then where they go. And so like he picked a snail or something and then the snail played the bongo drums.
Oh, cool.
And that's the setup for the video. So okay. Here it is.
That's so cute. He's so happy drumming his little knees.
Yeah, it's so cute. He was doing this a bunch, which is why I got the video, obviously. And he'll do it like in Moana when the Kakamora ship shows up. Those are the coconut pirates.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, there's like a that's all drums. And he just starts drumming along. It's so cute. So,
oh, my gosh. So cute. I see a little drum set in his future.
Yeah. You know, we had one. I think we got rid of it, honestly, because it was so loud. It was like plastic electronic one. That we got for Augie way back. And yeah, I think it was a bad purchasing decision on our part. But yeah, he's being super cute and I'm really enjoying it and trying to soak it in. And yeah, that's it for us this week.
Fun.
I want to hear about your week, though. What have you guys been up to?
We are good. Not too much going on over here, but I do have a little story to tell you about something that happened this week.
Okay.
So as you know, Elle has been playing softball all season. She never played before in her life. This is like her first go at it. And we were at practice the other day and the coach was like, oh, they're having all-star tryouts Thursday evening at like 5. You gonna come? And I'm like, no, like she just started playing, like she's not gonna make the all-star team. So it's the all-stars for her division, right? Which is 6U, uh-huh. Which is 6 and under.
Okay.
And there's like some pretty good girls on her team that I'm like, they're definitely gonna make the all-star team, right? And he's like, just give it a shot. You know, at least she'll see like what it's like and she can, you know, get the experience of it and try, you know, maybe try next season or something. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like almost everyone on the team was gonna go to these tryouts. And so I was like, well, I don't wanna make the decision for her. Like, who am I to be like, she's not going to make the team. We're not doing that.
I know. It sounds so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like to be like, kid, you're not good enough. Maybe next year. Maybe next year you'll make the cut.
Right? Like I'm not harsh or anything. So I was like, I'll leave it up to her. I was like, hey, there's all-star tryouts on Thursday. Do you want to go and try out? And she's basically just like, what's that? So I had to explain it to her. She's like, yeah, I'll go. I'm like, okay, cool. So we went. And like I mentioned before, these tryouts started at 5. And as you mentioned in your checkout, it gets dark pretty early now. And there's no lights at this field. So they're like,
what?
I know, it's so. The fields are like butted up against a residential neighborhood. So I guess like the city code, like they're not allowed to have lights on the field.
Uh-huh.
So like they try to jam in games and practices before the sun goes down. And like I think someone didn't realize that 5 p.m., like the Thursday after daylight saving, it's just like bad timing, right? So anyway, we go out there and this is one of the coldest nights I have felt in this city in probably like 2 years. It was so fucking cold and it was so windy. It was just like, oh my God, it was like blowing our hair. I wore my blanket hoodie and like my fur lined leggings and...
To be fair, Shauna, you have been preparing for this. You're like, I'm ready, guys. I've got my fur-lined leggings. I've got my giant sweater poncho.
I was so ready. You know who wasn't ready? Was poor little Elle, who I gave her like a jacket, but I don't know. I just wasn't prepared enough for her. I was like, they'll be running around, you know, she'll like be warm enough. So we get out there and these tryouts are taking forever. There's like 35 girls trying out and they start off by listing every single girl in the 6U division to see who maybe showed up and who didn't. So they're listing like 90 names. And of course, Elle, her last name is Jaeger, right? It starts with Y. So she's at the very end of the list. Then they have all the girls line up alphabetically like along the third baseline to go in order for tryouts. Who's the very last person in line? Elle, because her last name starts with a Y. And they have these girls like just standing out there on the field in the wind while the other girls go one by one to like catch some grounders and throw the ball and show what they can do. And I'm sitting in the dugout, which is like literally dug out. Like it's actual like below the ground level and has like a roof and everything. Like that's where I'm sitting. And so I was like warmer. And I'm just like, after like 10 minutes, she's still standing there in line. I'm like, oh my God, that poor girl must be so cold. And like 15 minutes go by. They're not even halfway through this fucking line. I'm like, oh my God, like, what do I do? Like, no one else seems to give a shit that their kids are freezing out there, right? Like, I assume they're freezing. I'm like, do I go out and like warm her up? I don't want to be like the parent that's coddling her. I don't know what to do. And I swear to God, after 30 minutes of her just standing in that line waiting, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go warm her up with my blanket hoodie. So I go out there. I'm like, hi, honey, are you cold? Her eyes were like teary. She was like, oh, yes, I'm so cold. She was like on the verge of tears. She didn't want to cry in front of her friends, right? And she's like, I'm so cold. I just want to go home. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like such an asshole. So I warm her up, like I wrap her up in my blanket hoodie. I'm like, I don't care what anyone else thinks. Like, I'm going to be her blanket while she finishes waiting in this line. I did consider going home, right? Because the sun is starting to go down. It's freezing. And the asshole me in the back of my mind, I'm like, she's not going to make it anyway, right? So I'm like, why are we even doing this? That's what I'm thinking to myself. But like, she just stood in that line for like 25 minutes. Like, why, you know, we put in that much. She put in that much. Like
sunken costs.
Yes. I was like, you know what? You've suffered this much. You can do this. I'm going to keep you warm until it's your turn. And then you're going to go out there. No matter how cold you are, you're going to like hustle. You're going to run out as fast as you can and show them that you've got like great energy. She's like, okay. And so I was the only parent out there like wrapping up my daughter like a little snowflake, you know, just like keeping her warm. And she got up and I was so proud of her. It finally got her turn. She like turned her attitude around. She ran out so fast to second base and like did her little stuff. And it, like her little tryout was like 1 minute, right? So she waited in that line for 1 minute of tryout. Then they're like, okay, now everybody line up to do batting.
Oh my God.
I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I was like, Elle, you get in the dugout. You're sitting with me under my blanket hoodie. Those girls can stand out there in line. I'm not sending you out there in line again. Like, I sounded like such a bitch. There's other moms in the dugout. I'm like, hell no. Like, I was such a protective mom. So she sat in the dugout until like towards the end of the line and she did her batting. Girl, it was straight up dark by the time they were pitching these girls' balls. I was like, how can anyone even tell what their skill level is?
Yeah.
Like, someone brought a floodlight and like put it on the backstop.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh,
what are we doing here? Like, so many times I'm just like, why? This is crazy. No one else was leaving, though. So I felt social pressure to like stick with it. I'm like, oh, my God. But I kept telling her just like, do your best. Have a great attitude and hustle. So then after batting, they made them run bases. And it was just pitch dark by the time we left. I was like, oh, well, that was a thing we did. And I felt really bad and really guilty. She was so cold. 2 days later, like Sunday morning, 6 a.m., I wake up to an email. It's like, hey, I'm Coach Joe. I'm going to be your kids' all-star coach. I was like, what? And I like cleared my head and my eyes. I was like, what? And I like read the email like 3 times. I was like, she, what? She made the all-star team. I was like, Steve, oh my God. I woke him up. I'm like, I think she made the all-star team.
Oh my God.
She did. She made the all-star team. And I was like, oh, my God, what a lesson in perseverance. And I felt like a great mom at that point, you know, like, you know, helping her stick with it. I warmed her up the best I could. But, you know, she stuck through something really challenging and difficult and showed a good attitude and good energy. And it paid off and she made the all-star team. And I was like, oh, my God, like I was really excited. So it had a happy ending despite that just wild day.
See, I thought this was going to turn into like the story she would tell at the Moth in 2045 or something, you know, that time my mother dragged me out into a dark field for nothing.
Right.
But like the nice twist is that like my mom still kept me warm despite this being a futile effort. But no, this is like, you know, a redemption story.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. And then the next day when I saw her regular team coach, a different guy, I was like, yeah, like she made it. I was like really surprised. Like I feel such an asshole, but it's just because she's new, right? These other girls have so much more experience, but she really has improved a lot this year.
You hear all-star team and you think like, okay, they're the like the prodigies, right? The ones that are just like excelling.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's six and under, no one has that many years of experience.
Yeah, exactly. And to her credit, she really did improve a lot this year. Like there was a point in the season where I saw her just focus and like want to learn and get better. So she has been trying. And so I was telling the coach, you know, I was a little surprised she made it. That's so cool. And he's like, oh, yeah, big part of what they were judging people on was their hustle, you know, like showing that they had the energy and enthusiasm and were really going for it. And she really did that out there. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. So, yeah, I'm just a very, very proud mom while also feeling slightly ashamed for forcing my daughter to do that.
Well, first you didn't want to even give her the opportunity. Then you forced her to stand out in the cold till she had tears in her eyes. But then you warmed her up and then she made the team. So I'd say it was a win.
I think it was a win. I think it was a win.
So wait, what does all-star team entail? Like, is this a whole other season?
To be honest with you, I didn't even know.
It's all night games.
Right. They're like, who's the toughest who can play in pitch dark?
In 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I think our listeners maybe don't realize when you say a day is windy in your neighborhood, like that's saying something because you guys get crazy wind up there.
We do. Yes. This neighborhood, I guess because it's kind of at the foothills of the mountains out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why. I was pissed when I found out we moved to the neighborhood this windy. Like, we bought the house and then came to get the keys. And I was like, what is happening right now? And then I found out it's always like that in the winter. Anyway, yeah. So it was very windy. I had 30-mile-an-hour winds, maybe. Quite hard.
Like, we've had to delay recording because the wind has been too loud out of your
yes.
outside of your house. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Don't get me started on the wind.
We're going to do a spinoff podcast, Shauna versus the Wind, where she just takes her mic out and is like, do you hear this?
And then just me cursing because I hate it so much. I know Cece is my child because she hates the wind, too. She gets so pissed when we go out in the wind, like to the park or to a softball game. I'm like, yep, you're my child. So I found out that the All-Stars, I thought it was going to be like maybe one All-Star game. Like, no, we are signed up for three tournaments with other leagues around the city. In December, we're going to travel to three different tournaments, lots of practices. So it is kind of a little bit like a mini season, but we get the opportunity to play, you know, other leagues. So it's cool. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a fun thing to do.
That does sound fun.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to you and congrats to Elle. I'm very proud of her.
Thank you. I'm proud of her, too. That's our windy cold check-in for the week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Alo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Alo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Alo Moves has to offer, visit alomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Alo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's alomoves.com, code BFP. alomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is They Said What?, where we reveal some questionable or surprising things that people have said to us related to parenting. Shauna.
Yeah.
I love this segment. This is a classic segment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a good time. So what is your first They Said What?
Okay, so last year when I was going to Mommy and Me class with Cece, do you remember this? It was kind of like a once a week little thing up here in the neighborhood. And it was a whole ordeal because we had to get COVID tested every single week to go.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I needed her to do something social like that. So we were going to this Mommy and Me class, and every week was a new kind of theme or lesson to teach parents. That's really what it was. It was like a parent education class, and the kids just kind of played. So there were two women who led the class, like the Mommy and Me teachers, and they'd been doing it for years. Both of them had grown children at this point, you know, and they'd been running this class for a really long time. They were very nice, very sweet, and did have a lot of knowledge. And every week would be kind of a lesson or a theme of the week for the parents to talk about, right? The class was mostly like parent education, and the kids got to play.
Yeah.
And this one particular week, it was like rules, like family rules or setting boundaries with your kids or something along that line. Like the thought topic was, what are the rules in your household or something like that? And I was like, oh, well, you know, my kids aren't allowed to go outside naked or that kind of stuff. And part of it was like, some rules are flexible, right? Like you can kind of like, you don't have to always eat your meal or you don't always have to do this or that. But like some, it's just like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like you can't go outside naked. You can't dive headfirst off of the couch. Like safety things, right? Like what are the safety things that you really instill in your kids and your family? And so we're talking about that. And one of the teachers who has like, you know, her kids are like 20 now. She's like, okay, here's what I did when my kids were like 3 and 4 years old. I needed to let them know that they weren't allowed to go into the street because going into the street is very dangerous, right? It's like, yes, of course. Like you don't run into the street. Like that's a hard, fast rule as a parent for your kids.
Yeah.
Especially if you live on a busy street. I guess she lived on a busy street or something. And she's like, it was just really hard to get my kids to understand that they couldn't run into the street. And so here's what I did. And she like totally presented this idea as if it's something like a great idea that we could all do. And she's like, what I did is I got a milk jug and I put it in the middle of the street and I had my kids stand on the sidewalk. And then I got in the car and I like, you know, drove back quite far. I'm sorry. I sped up and I ran over that milk carton and squashed it and milk went flying everywhere. And I got out of the car and I was like, that's what happens. That's what will happen to your body if you go into the street. And I was just like, yeah, it is. But what? Like, I just can't imagine doing that lesson in front of my like 3 and 4 year old, like obliterating a milk jug to show them what would happen to their body if they got hit by a car. I don't know. It seemed too extreme for me. And I was just like, we're all like, oh, cool. Good idea.
Honestly, I'm here thinking, no, that could work. Like,
she said it worked. She's like, they never went in the street again. I'm like, you scared the shit out of them. I don't know. I guess if you have a kid that like just will not follow the rules, like I was pretty easily able to teach my girls not to go into the street, like just by, I don't know, telling them firmly many times and making them hold my hand and everything. So I guess if you have a kid that needs to learn differently, that is a good visual way to do it. But it seemed so violent to me that I just like, I don't know, I can't. My girls would cry. Elle would definitely cry.
And then Cece would scream.
Yeah.
My kids, I think it would backfire on my kids. They would want me to do it again.
Yeah, it'd be like a fun game.
They would think it was super fun. 100%. They'd be like, next to a watermelon. It'd be like being at a Gallagher show, but instead with my car.
And your street is just riddled with milk and watermelon and trash.
I will say, if you really wanted to traumatize a kid, you would do it like with their baby doll, you know.
Oh gosh. Yeah, there, I guess there's more traumatizing ways to do this.
the moral of the story is that there's always a more traumatizing way to teach your children a lesson.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I was just surprised that that was part of the curriculum. But hey, if it worked for her, it worked for her. And maybe it's an idea that will work for some of our listeners. I don't know. I was just personally like, wow, that is intense. That's too much for me personally.
It's also a big waste of milk, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. At least like use the milk.
With grocery prices as they are.
And then fill it with water. Yeah, with grocery prices the way they are.
But water wouldn't be as dramatic as milk. Milk definitely is more visually appealing to me.
Yeah.
So.
What she should have done is colored the milk red with red food coloring.
There you go. See, that's somewhere in between running over the baby doll and the regular milk jug, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the middle ground of trauma.
Yes. You're welcome, listeners. You are welcome.
Well, I feel like I could demonstrate this without doing it on purpose because people fly down my street. I mean, really, really fast. And so I feel like I should just put out a milk jug around rush hour and see what happens.
Yeah.
But then it won't be me doing it. It'll be someone in a black Mercedes. It's always a black Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I like to go fast. Yeah. You live on a very busy street. I'm very lucky. We live in a very quiet cul-de-sac. But still. All right. What do you have for us, Laura? What's your first they said what?
Okay. So speaking of busy streets, mine actually happened on our busy street. I was on a walk with Sebastian. This is a couple months ago before he was in daycare. And I don't remember exactly how this happened. We were like about to go on a little wander, just the two of us. And he really didn't want to like get into his stroller. So I was like, okay, well, we'll just hang out in front of the house, right? He really didn't want to be in the backyard. So we start walking and he starts walking like really far. So I'm like holding his hand and we walk all the way to the Jamba Juice. That's like a half mile away.
What? Wow.
Yeah. He wanted me to carry him a little bit, but he wanted to walk. So I'm like holding, you know, he's so cute. You know, he holds his whole hand around my index finger, you know,
and we're walking. Best.
That's so cute. So we go and we get our Jamba Juice. He loves smoothies. I think I talked about this on the show.
Oh, yes.
And we'll split a Jamba Juice and then we're walking back. And as we're walking back, we're just taking our time because we have nowhere to be. And a woman walks by and I want to say she was probably in her like 50s or 60s. And this is what she said to me. She starts fawning over Sebastian, which is easy to do because as I mentioned earlier, he's so fucking cute right now. Mm-hmm. And then she says, "It's so nice to see a mama walking with her baby. Everyone you see around here is just walking with dogs or even cats."
What?
Literally, as she says this to me, like, you know, she's like complaining that you never see anyone walking with a baby around here. Across the street, there is a woman pushing a stroller. Like, at that very moment, I mean, and if I looked around and just waited 3 minutes, many people would come by with their children in strollers. I'm telling you, like, our area has a ton of kids. You're always seeing strollers go by. And I know because Augie, like, points out everyone. It's really cute. He's like, "Who's that friend?" Uh-huh. "Oh, there's a kid out there." Like, you see kids all the fucking time, right? And this woman is clearly a neighbor. She was just, like, on a walk, like, on a stroll around the neighborhood. "It's so nice to see a mama walking with her kids. You only ever see dogs and cats." The way she said cats, like, I didn't want to tell her that we had two cats.
Her disgust for walking dogs and cats is so bizarre.
I know. It's like also dogs need to be walked. You know, like it's a thing.
Yes.
And just because people are walking their dogs doesn't mean they don't have kids at home. You know?
Yes. I guess she was like delighted that your kid wasn't in a stroller. Like, is that it?
I don't think so. I think she was just happy to see a child. I don't know. It was very weird. It was one of those things where it was like, just smile and walk along. Like, just teaching Sebastian the important smile and nod and walk along.
Like uh-huh.
Don't engage too much.
Oh, my word. My neighbor walks his cat on a leash, and it is my favorite thing in the world. He has his coffee cup every morning and walks his cat around the cul-de-sac, and the cat comes and sniffs our yard. Oh, I love it. I love people walking cats. I don't know why this woman is so mad about it.
I don't know. But she had to tell us about it. I will say, I think Cal, my younger cat, would love to be walked on a leash.
Oh, I think you should do it just to spite this lady. Just like, try to find her. So see, funny. Moms walk cats too, not just kids. Oh, gosh, I love people.
People are so funny. All right, so that was my first "they said what." Do you have another one for us?
I do. Okay, here's the backstory to this. You know that Cece got a new preschool teacher, right? Like, suddenly her beloved teacher left and we got a new person. And it's been fine, but it's just kind of weird, right? Like, I don't know. I don't see her that much. Like, she's in a different room in the morning during drop-off, and I haven't really connected with her yet, whereas, like, the other teacher, I saw her all the time, and I really loved her, and just, like, lately, there's been this sense of, like, I don't know exactly what's going on with her at preschool, and, like, her nap situation. I had all sorted out with the old teacher and this new teacher. I tried to be like, I don't want her to nap anymore, but like, I don't think that really got communicated. And just like, I don't know, recently I've been like, I don't know about this preschool. Like, it's good. It's great. It's definitely a different vibe than Elle's preschool that she used to go to, which was very, very open. Like, it was on the lot of where I work, right? So it's basically set up so that parents who work there can go and, like, drop in at literally any time. And it's just, like, got get to know the teachers, the other kids, the parents. It was a very open vibe. This is a little different. Like when we do pickup, we'd like pick up at the gate. We don't really go in. And so there's just like this sense of separation of me as a parent in the school. And so I've been questioning it a little bit in the back of my mind. Like, what's going on there? So this has been on my mind lately. And the other night I was putting Cece to bed. And she was not tired yet because she napped at school. And of course, you know, she's like awake. And
so this is like 11 p.m.?
Oh, God. It, a little earlier than that. But yeah, too late for my liking. And she's just babbling. And she's been doing a lot of babbling lately, talking, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things she starts saying as she's babbling, she's like, I obey perfectly. I obey perfectly. I obey perfectly. And I'm just like, come again? What? And I'm like, huh? What'd you say, honey? I obey perfectly. And she's just like chanting this over and over. I obey perfectly. And I'm like, that fucking preschool. I'm like, I knew it. It's weird. There's weird stuff going on behind the closed doors. Are they like trying to keep them in line? Like, I obey perfectly. Like, I don't know. Like, I instantly was like, we got to get her out of this preschool. And this was in a matter of like 2 minutes. I'm spiraling. I'm just like, what am I going to do? There's going to be no openings at other preschools. What is happening? And I'm like, okay, take a breath, Shauna. I'm like, Cece, where did you learn the phrase, I obey perfectly? And I'm like, she's going to say preschool. I just know it. I just know it. We're so fucked. She's like, oh, from Cat Pack. I'm like, what? She's like, Cat Pack. I was like, oh, Cat Pack, the Paw Patrol spinoff show about the cats? Yeah, Cat Pack. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yep, 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 yep. I remember that scene now. I remember that scene now.
What's the context?
There's like a robot cat that they're trying to sequester or something. And it's like the robot cat is being controlled by Mayor Humdinger or something. And, you know, it's like, I obey perfectly, like this robot cat. And it got stuck in her mind. And it's not even so much that she, the they said what, is that she said it, but that the they said what triggered me so hard and fast to like blow up my life that I was just like, wow, Shauna. Wow. Like that's, it's really sad that I think like that's something they're actually teaching at that school and they're not, like, it's fine. I don't know. I don't know.
But you know, you assume that your kids are learning things at school. And part of the scary thing about sending your kid to preschool is this black box, right?
Like,
as you were telling the story, my mind kind of wandered to like wondering how I could send a audio recorder in with Augie to see what his day is like. Like, that's where I was going. I was like, I wonder if I could get an audio recorder that would like go that long. It would need to be like a special kind. I'm sorry, I really was paying attention to your story too, but you know, I what I'm saying is that I understand the spiral because I go there immediately as well. But yeah, no, it was just your Paw Patrol spinoff.
Yeah. It was just her reciting back a cartoon that she's watched. So all is fine. All is good. No one is teaching her to obey perfectly. It's all good.
Well, I actually have something kind of creepy that Augie said to me for my next They Said What.
Oh, well, should we take a break and come back with it?
Okay, let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and Laura's got one more They Said What for us. Laura, what's your creepy They Said What?
Okay, so this is with Augie. It was a night where I was doing his bedtime, and he was being really sweet. Like, some nights he's a total Tasmanian devil tearing up the room, but, like, this night he was being really sweet and, like, you know, wanting to, like, play with my hair and wanting to, like, cuddle and all this stuff. And it was just, like, one of those really lovely nights where you're just feeling so warm and fuzzy. And I'm, like, putting on his jammies and, you know, pulling his little shirt over his head. And then he looks at me with his very sweet, innocent face and his big round eyes. And he goes, "Mama?" And I said, "Yes, honey." He goes, "What's a human sacrifice?"
What? You're like, "What are they teaching you at preschool, kid?"
Pretty much. Well, I was like, "Huh?" I was like, "What's a what?" He's like, "A human sacrifice. What's a human sacrifice?" I'm like, you know, in my mind, like you said, I'm like, where did he learn this? What the hell? Like, this is super creepy. This is the same kid who, like, says things like, "The house will burn down on Halloween," or, like,
right?
You know, just creepy ass shit. And so I'm just like, what? God. Where did this come from? And I was a little flustered, and I thought, like, maybe he would move on, but he was staring at me very sweetly and intently. And so finally I was like, it's a thing that some cultures used to, where did you hear that? Like, cause I just don't know where to go.
Right.
Cause you know, I have to explain death, which he's already, like, not so clear on. Then I'd have to explain why another person would, like, kill another person and like, you know, I don't want to, I'm just, like, spiraling cause I don't know what to say correctly. So finally I was like, where did you hear that? And he's like, "It's in Moana." And I was like, "What? There's a human sacrifice in Moana? What are you talking about?" And thankfully, he's so good at explaining things. Otherwise, there'd be so many mysteries in this world. He was like, "Yeah, Maui says it when they're on top of Tamatoa's lair." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I don't remember that, but I believe you." And then so the next time we watched Moana, which was the next day, I paid close attention. And after Maui and Moana climb the big, like tower cliff thing to get to the opening of Tamatoa's lair. Tamatoa is the crab that sings Shiny, if you remember, by, is it Jermaine Clement?
It is.
It's like one of my favorite scenes and songs because I love Flight of the Conchords.
So good.
But anyway, at the top, he's like, okay, in order to open the lair, we need to do a human sacrifice. And Moana gets scared. He's like, just kidding. And then he does his dance. So that's where he heard it. Just one like dropped reference. Of course, we've seen Moana like 100 times. So did I explain what a human sacrifice was after that? I don't know. I don't know. Like, I was like, well, it's just a thing that cultures used to do. They don't do it anymore. And then he was like, okay. And I tried to move on. So,
yeah.
But,
oh, it's just so funny that it's completely out of context when he brought it up, right? It's not like right as he heard it in the movie, like he was like, oh, hey, mom, what's a human sacrifice? It's like, no, he had to wait until bedtime. Look you in the eye.
And he's thinking about it. Like hours later, he's standing there thinking about it and just looking at me. I mean, I can't even explain, like the doe eyes, right? Just, mama, what's a human sacrifice? If anyone wants that as their ringtone, just hit me up. Maybe we'll sell that as a ringtone.
Oh, my word.
Oh, God. So anyway, that was my final They Said What. Always keeping us on our toes, these kids.
They really are. Oh, my word. All right. Well, that's been fun, but I think we should move on to our big fat positives and big fat negatives of the week. Yes?
Yes.
All right. We wrap up every week with our weekly BFPs or BFNs. Laura, you're up first. What do you got?
I have a BFP.
Good. Tell us.
So mine is that part of the reason Uncle Dan and Auntie Angela came into town is because it was Corey's birthday week.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result, we actually planned a dinner for adults this weekend.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you couldn't make it. It was one of those things where I kind of planned it a little last minute. And it was like a everyone gets to choose which parent stays home and which parent goes to the fun dinner thing.
Mm-hmm. I let Steve go because I've been doing so many fun things without him lately, like mom camp. So I was like, Steve, you can go.
Yeah. So Steve got to come, which was very fun. Actually, you know what? One of my like favorite things about the night is we actually had Eliza, our former nanny, come babysit. And she was upstairs putting Augie to bed. And he was really excited to have her put him to bed. So I was like, great, cool. More time for me to get ready. And so I'm upstairs getting ready so we can go downstairs and walk to the restaurant. And, when I come downstairs, Steve is just like hanging out in our living room, chatting with Corey and Dan and Angela and Sherry, who came, like drinking some whiskey. And I just had this like warm feeling. I was like, it's like the before times.
Oh, yeah.
Like just finding Steve Yeager in my living room, you know? Like that's like a thing that would happen, right? Like sometimes our friends would come over and just like, and when I say before times, I mean two things. I mean before kids and before the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know? It was just like, oh, how fun. A friend in my living room that I didn't know was here, just like casually drinking whiskey neat on our couch. You know, like.
So fun.
So that was nice. And then Steven, our friend Steven, also got to come, Jen's husband.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked around the corner to this really cool restaurant that's been there for like 80 years or something.
Wow.
It's kind of like a tiki bar type place. It's really cool. And we just had like a great time. It was just, there were 9 of us all together and we got to celebrate Corey's birthday and eat steaks and be grown-ups without kids begging for things every 2 seconds. And
yeah,
it was really, really nice.
So fun. Steve came back so happy. He was like, that was the best night. It was so great. And in the future, you know, I want to get to a place where we can hire a babysitter to come and you know, watch the kids so we can both go and do that kind of thing. I'm fine with it now. It's just that was on the heels of like a really rough week for me with CC being sick. So I was like, I can't. I'll just, you know, stay home with them and let him go. But I am so dying for that kind of stuff, too. And I'm so glad that you guys got to do that.
I think also we should just like go the two of us or like you, me and Jen to dinner some night, you know?
Yeah, we
like,
should.
Like we can do that easily. You don't need babysitters for that. The dads can take care of the kids. And
yeah,
I just think I need more of that in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so in baby world, you know, just need to break out. So that was super fun. And it was nice to celebrate Corey's birthday. Always like celebrating him. So
aww, how fun.
That is my BFP for the week.
That's a good one.
So Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
I have talked about on the show a few times how we have a neighbor that is rather unpleasant. Right? The older woman who lives next door to us has been rude since literally the second she laid eyes on us when we were like touring the house before we even bought it, and has continued to be just so weird and rude. And one of the things that she does is stand on her property and like glare at us, right? I've talked about this before. Like, it is the weirdest thing. And like, I will wave and she just like will glare and the kids will say hi and she'll glare and blah, blah, blah. And it's annoying. Well, the other day I was watering some plants on the side of my house with my hose because our sprinklers are broken. And so I was standing over there and it's like right next to her house, right? It's like right in the breezeway between our houses. And I'm watering. And then there's this like big, I don't know, juniper tree or something that's kind of on both of our property lines. And so I was like, oh, I'll give that little guy some water too. So I spray this thing with water and I go and I start putting the hose away and I look up and boom, there she is, right?
Oh,
she always appears like a ghost. It's like so freaky. And she's just glaring at me. I mean, her eyebrows are like furrowed and she's just staring at me. And I'm like, I stare at her for a second. I always try to be like the better person. And then I like wave and I'm like, hi. And she looks at me and she looks at that tree I watered. And she goes, like, how dare I water a tree on her property? I mean, it was the most judgmental sneer I've ever received in my life.
Oh,
and it was like a breaking point for me. I was like, I'm so fucking sick of this woman. I can't handle her anymore. I just don't want her even looking at me and my family anymore. And I started dreaming up this idea of like getting pots that just go all along the boundary between our homes and putting big trees in between and making a hedge or something. Like, I just like my wheels were turning and I'm like, Steve, I'm done with this lady. I don't want her staring at us anymore. And I don't think he knew how serious I was. He was kind of like, oh, okay. And I was like researching pots and plants and all this stuff for like 2 weeks and would not let it go. I'm like, we have some extra money in our HELOC. We're putting a barrier between our houses. I just don't want to look at her anymore. And finally, he got on board because I would not let it go. We went to the nursery and like consulted with the landscaper guy. He's like, oh, the perfect thing to put up between houses to make a boundary is a curtain fig. And we're like, how much are those? And he told us, and we're like, can we hire you to install them? He's like, yeah, sure. We had to cut concrete out of our driveway in order to like really make the, you know, the trees. Mm-hmm. Steve rented a concrete cutter. He cut the freaking thing.
Wow.
Removed all of these bricks.
You know, that was his best day ever, though. Like, when he learned he had to cut concrete on his own, he was just like rolling up his sleeves.
He's like, oh, darn, I have to rent heavy machinery at Home Depot. What a shame. Oh, yeah, you're right. He secretly loved it. And oh, my God, he did a great job. He did great. Like, I don't know. The lines were very straight that he cut. I was impressed. And the landscaper came and installed the trees, and we have a privacy hedge between my house and this cranky old lady. And I am so happy. I mean, the trees aren't grown in yet. Like, I can still see her. But like in a year, like 6 months to a year, I think it'll be pretty solid. And to me, it's just like the most passive aggressive fuck you to this lady that I could possibly think of. And it delights me so much. And that's not a part of myself I love to admit, but that's what this podcast is about. So, yeah, I am just like so freaking happy about this hedge that popped into my head, came to fruition, and it exists now.
I saw pictures of this on, I think, Steve's Instagram stories, and it looks awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little jealous. We need to install some privacy foliage between us and our neighbors. But of course, we've been dragging our feet because we did the reno and we don't have money in a HELOC right now.
I know, it's hard.
But yeah, it looks great. How tall will they get?
You know, I think they will get pretty tall, but we're probably going to like trim them to about 6 feet. 7 feet, maybe.
Okay.
She's short, so She won't be able to see over him. I feel so evil, like cackling about another person. But I'm telling you, she's been so rude to us for 5 years.
All you're doing is making it so she can't glare at you. It's not like you're doing anything harmful. You're planting plants.
Yeah.
So you can, like, remove the neighbor's glare. I don't think there's anything negative about that. So, yeah. Well, good.
Thank you. I'm so glad. I'm really glad, too. And hopefully they'll bush out real soon. So that'll make me very happy. Anyway, that is my BFP, and I think that's our episode. Do you have a 5-star review to read?
I do. This is from someone who goes by L. Piz Green on Apple. The title is Hands Down Best Pregnancy and Parenthood Podcast, 5 stars. I absolutely love this podcast, and it is my first recommendation to an expecting friend or family member. Shauna and Laura's conversations about pregnancy and parenthood are so relatable. I've learned so much listening for the past 3 years, and it has helped me grow as a parent to my toddler and infant. I look forward to Mondays when the newest episode is released. Thank you so much, Shauna and Laura, for keeping it real and offering such great insight. Thank you for that amazing review.
Yeah, thank you so much. I love hearing that what we're doing is, like, helping people, you know, and, like, giving people tips and tricks, and I don't know. I just, like, hear that, and it just warms my heart and makes me so, so happy. So thank you so much for that review and for listening to the show.
Absolutely.
If you want to hear your review read on the show, go on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, and say a few things that you love about the show that's really, really been helping grow our audience and help new listeners take a chance on our show. So we really, really appreciate you taking the time to do that for us. Thank you. If you have any They Said Whats that you want to share with us, we love hearing all of that stuff. So please reach out. Laura, where can everyone find us?
We are on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo in there. We love those. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join and answer the 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot. And if you're not, we'll send you straight through to the wonderful and amazing and insightful conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.